Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creative tonight is Grammy-nominated Lupita Infante. Lupita just performed at the Mariachi USA Music Festival. She performed live in front of thousands of mariachi enthusiasts, and it was mind-blowing. Lupita is an amazing singer. She comes from a long line of talented entertainers. Her grandfather was Pedro Infante, and her father was Pedro Infante Jr. Some of the most influential entertainers in the Mexican community and culture. You can check out her music over on YouTube and all major streaming platforms. This episode is brought to you by the new movie, Ellie and Abby and Ellie's Dead Aunt. It's a romantic comedy. It's sweet. It's touching. It's smart. It's funny. But it was hilarious and it was so, so, so sweet. I'm so thankful for them for sending it my way and letting me enjoy it. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host pup, and enjoy the show. Well, good evening, everybody. I'm here with Lupita Infante, Grammy-nominated and Latin Grammy-nominated for her music. That's very exciting. That's very fresh, right?
Yes. Hello, hello.
Yeah. So bring me up to speed. I mean, in the past, just what, like year or so, this is all happening, right?
Yeah, it's actually been really crazy. And I think I'm starting to understand it. Obviously, you know, this is all new to me, but I was thinking about this the other day that there's some songs that I hear for the first time, just like any popular song that's out there. And then I'll look at the release date and then maybe it'll be released, you know, 7 months or a year before I ever heard it. So I was thinking, you know, it's not always going to be like an instant thing. And, you know, the album La Serenata, we released it in 2019, I believe in September 2019. So, you know, we saw where it went. We saw how people reacted to it. I saw what songs worked, what songs didn't work the way I thought they were going to. But the biggest surprise was getting, first, it was a Latin Grammy nomination for a song. So it was for the songwriting itself, which I was a part of. And then the bigger surprise was the Grammy nomination, because we really did not expect that at all. And it's now gonna be almost, you know, 2 years. So I want to say it took like a year and a half, plus, you know, the pandemic did delay you know, the Grammys a few months. They had to push it back to March when it's usually in January. So it just felt like, first of all, a really long time. And I was thinking, okay, you know, we're moved on to the next project. And but to have that type of recognition, you know, it's really changed everything for me. And even moving forward, I think everything is, I look at everything just differently. And, you know, just learning the process of how everything works and how, you know, you make a career in this thing called music, which is a little bit nuts, you know, but I'm really just enjoying the journey. And there's so many things that I'm looking forward to now because I know a little bit of that process and the road.
Right. Well, it's kind of funny. I feel like a lot of people just, we're writing 2020 off. It never happened. So we're just going to pretend it didn't happen. But I think as a creative, as a musician, you know, as you don't go into it with the goal of I'm doing this because I want prestige or I want the nominations or the wins. You go into it because you have a love for it, right? You have a passion to create that, you know, music or, you know, art or whatever it is. And so then when you get a nomination or a win, I want to use the word validation because you already have, you know, faith in yourself and in your talent, hopefully. I think some people might be crippled a little bit with self-doubt, but it is kind of a validation. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, I was right. No, that this was the right path. Thanks for telling you.
No, you're totally, absolutely right. I think what I've learned from even other creatives is that we all suffer from this thing called imposter syndrome. And so it is kind of like a big validation of like, okay, you are on the right path. Because like you said, we are in it because we love it so much. And you just hope, you know, you can also eat from
Mm
what you do here. So it's just been it's been a crazy journey to say the least. But I think definitely things are, you know, just kind of blossoming in their own unique way, because everyone's going to have a completely different journey. And I think just, you know, the maybe the thing that everyone has in common who stays in this career for a long time is just that they don't give up, they don't quit. So I think definitely receiving these nominations, it's kind of like, okay, you're not going to give up, you're not going to quit, you're going to keep going.
Right. And you're a relatively young to the game, right? I mean, how long have you been doing it?
It hasn't been that long. I mean, it's been a long time because it's not, it's something that was in my family. So I've been singing forever, but it wasn't like this professional type of thing where this is going to be my career. I think that didn't start until 2018 when I met my management team, which is, when I really started learning a lot about the business of music.
So it has been, I mean, you grew up with it, your grandfather, your father. I mean, it's just, it was a musical household, you know, to have someone that you meet and they're like, hey, you could totally do this for a living. And you're like, oh, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so crazy because you it's kind of like, you know, you go building it little by little and you see what works, what doesn't work. So I met my management team because I went on Mexico's version of the show The Voice,
Cool.
and
Okay.
then that's where they saw me. One of my management, he saw me there, and he was managing a different artist at the time who was a coach on the show. And you know, after I got kicked off the show in semifinals, he sent me a message like, "Hey, we're kind of, you know, I'm Laura Pausini's manager, and I'm interested in, you know, talking to you and working with you." And I was just like in shock. I was like hyperventilating, like, "Oh my God, like they know I exist." I had that kind of feeling about it. And you know, since then, I've just learned so much. That's all I could say. It's just been such a learning process from turning into something that you love. Because before that, I was a student. I was at UCLA and I was going to school for ethnomusicology. I got my bachelor's degree, and that was kind of like my plan B, I guess, which is also music related, but just in a whole other way. More so through education and just through the cultural side of, you know, the tradition of music that I perform. So, you know, just having all of the pieces of the puzzle come together has been really neat. And I think, you know, there's still a long road ahead of how we can, you know, keep, I don't know, bringing this unique story of mine and what I can do and my music to people.
Absolutely. And the Mexican voice, you said kicked off, but like, you know, you get voted off my finals and you're just crushed. You're like, oh, and then someone's like, hey, I saw you. You're fantastic. And you're like, wait, I'm not a total loser. Hold on. Yeah. Thanks. What an uplifting thing to have happened after like that little minor defeat of, you know, having to go home from the show. And you're right, your path is wide open for you, especially with the Grammy nomination. I don't know, do we call them American Grammys versus the Latin Grammys? I mean, that opens up the door to a lot of maybe a crossover, maybe a pop crossover, maybe country music crossover, however you know tend to lean, or however you feel driven to go. I mean, your path is just wide open. That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's a lot to explore. I think it'd be so much fun to do some kind of country crossover. That'd
That would be so good. I mean, we have not had an amazing Latina singer, specific, not since Selena, that has, like you said, the actual cultural music that emphasizes and praises and uplifts the tradition and the culture. You have this unique voice and this unique message.
Yeah, I think, you know, thinking back, the only person who, or artist, singer who I've known to really do all kinds of crossovers, is Linda Ronstadt, back, in the 70s, kind of 80s. And she really was able to top those country charts, I think even pop charts. And then she broke records when she decided to record with Mariachi and was like the number one top selling artist, Latin artist. So I think, I mean, that's amazing. And so she's kind of like, someone I aspire to be like.
Emulate, absolutely. I mean, for role models, you can't go wrong. Woodland are phenomenal. You said you got your bachelor's degree in ethnomusicology. Is that something that would lend itself to, like, you would be a professor? You would teach them?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have to go, back to school if I, depending on, what, if I wanted to teach at a col at the college level, university level, I would definitely have to go back to school, which is not, what I wanted to. I was never the best student, but I love learning. But yeah, technically, I think for that degree specifically, it's usually for people who want to be educators. And I feel like I am an educator just in my own way. Maybe not like a traditional at the college or university setting. Yeah, I love sharing. There's a lot of background and roots to the music I sing, so I always love to share a little bit of history along with the music. It just feels like it makes more sense, and it just paints a bigger picture for everyone who's listening to the music. So I like to have that side of the education present too.
Right. I mean, and it's like you said, it's something to fall back on if this whole Grammy nominated music career doesn't work out for you. For people who are listening that don't really know, since we're talking about, the education side of it, mariachi has been around for a long, long time, and it's such a like pivotal part of Mexican culture, right? And talk about joyful music. I mean, it's really hard to be mad when you're listening to some mariachi music. And it's not just for, again, for people listening that are like, oh, mariachi. I mean, I've been to quinceañeras, I've heard it, but I've also been, in traffic and there's somebody rocking out. And I don't know if it's some sort of cross, like hybrid mariachi rock, mariachi rap. I don't know what it is, but it kicks, right? Funny because it just like, it keeps evolving, and but at the root of it, I mean, how long has it been around?
It went through this evolution process, but around 1898 is when one of the first groups was formed, and since then, it kind of went through its transformations from, having certain instruments and then not having certain instruments, and then around the 19, I want to say 40s, the mid 1940s, is when mariachi started to appear in film. And because it appeared in film, and my grandfather has a lot to do with this because he was in those films, because it started appearing that way in film, it kind of like froze in time. So even now, like at the Mariachi USA Festival, that kind of ensemble where it's symphonic and there's like 15 musicians in a group, it was kind of form developed and kind of frozen in time, since like the 1940s and 50s, that golden age of Mexican film. And that's kind of what we see today. And usually, we don't always have the privilege to see that the full group, in its splendor. But at the Mariachi USA Festival, we're definitely gonna experience that. So that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to most.
And that's August 22nd, right?
That's right. August 22nd,
Now,
Sunday.
is this a live event or is it a virtual event?
So it's all live. So it takes place at the Hollywood Bowl. It's in its 32nd edition, so it's been around for many years. And it's kind of crazy because it's been happening in LA for over 30 years, but there's people that still don't really know about it. So
The Hollywood Bowl is not some tiny little venue. It's
Uh-huh.
huge. And I'm not sure of the actual numbers, but I believe the percentage of Mexicans that actually live in Los Angeles is very high. So
Yeah.
the Angelos, they might not know about it, but I guarantee you everybody else does.
Yeah, I didn't really know about this festival until I studied mariachi music. And then where I was studying music, they gave the foundation some tickets for all the students to check out the show. So it was really neat to experience that. But yeah, we weren't familiar with the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, of course, probably because we live, outside of the city. We're over here in Downey, so we're not too close. But yeah, it's nevertheless, it's an amazing festival, and for anyone wanting to really have a true mariachi experience, I would say like go to the Mariachi USA.
Because I think a lot of people, their only concept of mariachi is in the movie where the three guys come to the table at the restaurant. Somebody hires a mariachi band to serenade their girlfriend. But you're right, it's massive. It's huge. You said 15. Oh my God. It's like just the sound alone, it gets the hair standing up on you, and you're just like so excited and joyful. And in a venue like the Hollywood Bowl with, well, however many it seats, just like screaming and cheering and singing along. Oh my God, that would be such an experience. And I know it's been really bad in Los Angeles of lockdown, and people are going, just get out there and shout and be excited. That's fantastic.
It is. It's so much fun, and so the Hollywood Bowl seats 18,000 people.
Oh, geez. Yes. Oh my God.
So it's gonna be a lot of people singing together, and there's a sing-along medley at the end, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a whole world to experience. It's really neat, but it's just a cultural event that happens every year. It's been happening for, I guess, 33 years now, the 32nd edition, because we had to skip a year. But yeah, so the producer of the show, Rodri Rodriguez, she's an incredible person who started and has, it's just been around ever since, because it's just really popular, and it's incredible. It's going to be a great show, and I'll be performing there. Yeah, it'll be a great mariachi experience, especially for someone who I remember a while back, I was performing at a restaurant, and I wanted to show, my family, my in-laws and their family, like I wanted to give them a true mariachi experience. So I invited them to the show, and the mariachi that was performing that night, they're one of the groups that have been in the past on the Mariachi USA stage. So they got to experience, the cons that concert where I performed with this, incredible, 15 musician mariachi group, and they were just blown away. Like they couldn't believe the musicality of it. Just, because it sometimes when we do go to parties, it's almost not a fair representation of what mariachi truly is. So yes, if you want to experience mariachi in its,
Yeah.
pure and amazing, in the most perfect way, then Mariachi USA is the perfect event to go and experience it there.
And people get to see you.
Yes, and that's another bonus too.
So I had a question. You mentioned your grandfather, and I know your dad was a singer and actor as well, right?
Yes.
You being a little one, to you, like, was mariachi just like this funny musical thing that grandpa did? And then as you got older, you were like, oh wait, this is like a whole thing. This is outside of my household. This is actually a big thing.
I think for me, because I got to watch my dad perform live. My grandfather, he passed away in 1957. So yeah, unfortunately, I wish I would have seen him live, because I know he was, an incredible performer. And my dad, I grew up watching him perform. So I think watching him just really, I don't know how to say it in English. Like I always say this, describe it in Spanish, but not always in English. But watching him just kind of, be himself on stage and connect with the audience and watching how the audience would react to him and how he would just kind of joke around. And it was like this amazing environment to me at watching him perform. It was like he was like a magician, and like, how can he, connect with all of these people and make them laugh and make them feel certain things? And I think that's what I grew up with, and that's what I grew up watching that really inspired me. And then obviously, as I grew older and just learned about the music and how it works and how, because it looked so easy when my dad would do it, but getting up on the stage, especially when you're just beginning, it's you get so nervous. And but I think, yeah, so that's what I learned as a kid, just by watching and just experiencing that. I think was my favorite part of just that mariachi ensemble and watching the performances come to life. It was amazing.
Well, watching your dad, did that inspire you to want to try instruments and try singing? Or was it more they encouraged you to do it because that's what he did? If that question made sense, I'm sorry.
No, that makes, I think my dad's side of the family, they were always more just supportive. It doesn't matter if you want to, have a career in music or not. They were just always supportive. My dad was really supportive. And then my mom, she always kind of wanted to push for that, like, I want you to be a performer. So thanks to my mom, she would, put me in all kinds of classes. And I was in guitar class, voice class, Hawaiian dancing class, and like a little model, with all the little outfits and the dancing and the ballet. So I was always involved and really active in the arts in some way or another. But at the same time, I never had that pressure of like, oh, you need to be like this little performing child. It was always, I was free to just be a kid, which was, I think, nice.
Absolutely. I mean, you see these horror stories where it's like the kids are put into something that their parents want them to do, and they're miserable. Let the kid be a kid. And yes, I understand that you paid $500 for these dance classes, but if she doesn't like it, she doesn't like it. Or if he doesn't like it, he doesn't like it. Leave him alone. It was probably your idea in the first place. So, and just, but because they weren't pushing you, it allowed you to actually develop your own love for it. Where I feel like too rigid and too, you're going to practice, you're doing this, you're doing that. Then the kid's like, well, I don't want to do it, so.
And I think that, that happens a lot, probably even with sports. It's a discipline that, I don't know, not all kids are ready for that. So I'm glad I was able to choose for myself when I was ready. And it was also good to always have music there, and without the pressure of everything that comes with being in a music career.
Right. Like my kid, he desperately wanted to do Cub Scouts. And I swear to you, he did it for like a month and then he was over it. So a little freedom goes a long way with the kids with the extracurricular, as you've proven. I mean, you're doing so well with the music. You've been nominated for these awards. You're doing the 18,000 seat Hollywood Bowl performance. So for the parents listening, be nice to your kids. Go easy on them a little. All right. So what else is coming out soon? You got a new album, or I mean, what can we promote? What can we just go off about?
I've just recently released a new song, and it's a very traditional song. I think maybe every person that listens to Mexican music will know. It's called Cucurucucu Paloma, and we did an interesting arrangement of it because we added some pop elements, and
Please.
you can hear like a pretty bassy kick, and we still have a little bit of like the mariachi elements too, but it's not, you know, your traditional full mariachi ensemble. So we put that out, and it's been interesting because you're gonna get the mariachi, the Mexican music purists who are like, how dare you do this, you know, to our music. And then you have the people where it's like, wow, what a fresh new take on this classic song. So that's out for anyone that wants to take a listen. And lately I have been, when I have time, I've been working on writing new songs, new music for the next album. Learning from my first experience in my first album, I just really want to have songs that I connect with and that feel really good to sing, because yeah, it's once the song gets on the album and gets out there, you're gonna have to sing it at least 1,000 times a year, or I don't know how many times, but a lot. So just, you know, working on songs that on writing songs that really feel good, and that
Hate singing over and over again. Because
yeah.
I see there's artists out there that are like, I wish I never if I have to sing Skater Boy one more time.
Exactly. So you want to just make sure that yeah, you have songs that you really believe, and that you really believe in. And yeah, because you know, at the end of the day, I guess that's kind of what you're selling, right? You're selling the song, and you want to make sure that you have absolute faith and you believe in it. So I've been working on that, and we have a few songs already done, but we still want more. We have over 20 songs written, but we're still looking for more, and then we'll start producing all of the music pretty soon.
Fantastic. And you're right about when it comes to songwriting, so many musicians have said the listeners and the audience can tell when you've just phoned it in, just to. They look at you and they're like, oh, she hates this song. I hate song now. It's just like, yeah. So now it sounds like things are opening up a little bit more. Is the concept of a tour like something that's on your agenda, something you're thinking about?
Yeah, I think once I have this new album ready, then I will probably try to set, you know, a tour up, and we'll see how that goes and how we're doing. I'm planning to have the album ready maybe by the beginning of next year, so hopefully by then things are in better shape. Because yeah, I feel like it still feels very uncertain, you know, with everything. So
Well, I think a lot of performers sensed a little bit of freedom and planned a lot of shows and then had to cancel them. So I think that's the right way. And plus, it would be perfect timing. You know, the album's finished and then boom, we're gonna have a tour. And God, I hope if we're talking March of next year, we're talking 2 years. I hope that we have it under control by then. People miss concerts. People miss doing things with other people. You know, they miss group experience, and a concert's just a beautiful thing. Like the Mariachi USA. I mean, it's gonna be huge.
Yes, it's gonna be really huge. I remember too, I think it was April this year, I want to say. Yeah, I can't even remember, but I performed for a friend's wedding. And I remember somebody coming up to me and saying like, oh my God, I haven't heard live music in over a year, and it just feels so good to, you know, hear something live. And I think that's really important to people, because there's something special about music that I think heals us and connects us to other people. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that in this concert on Sunday. And yeah, just really connecting with people, because I always say, you know, performing online, it's always fun because sharing you know, your music is fun. But, you know, when you're performing online, you have like this 3 second delay. So you finish a song and you're kind of like waiting to hear the feedback. You know, are they gonna clap? Did they like it? I can't tell. Or, you know, they're muted, so you just don't even hear them at all. So it's such a different experience, even though it's, you know, great to be able to connect with everybody, but it's, you know, never the same as a live audience. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that's fantastic. You have so much going on and your path is just wide open. I mean, it's just up from here, honestly.
Yeah, I can't wait for this next album. I learned so much in doing the first album, so I think this next album is just so much more intentional and just I'm really excited about that, so.
Right. And your first album is like your first kid. You know what didn't work. You know what? So in the second album, it's like, oh, okay. Well, that didn't work last time, so we're not going to do that again. So that's really awesome. Where can people find your music?
You can find it in all platforms with my name, Lupita Infante. And then on social media, you can also connect with me there. I'm Lupita Infante XO. And so, yeah,
All right, awesome. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. Wish that I could get to LA on Sunday, but I can't. The joyful noise is going to be ridiculous. It's going to be so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it so much.
And I'm sure that we'll be able to eventually, maybe not that exact day, but we'll be able to catch it on like the YouTubes and stuff a couple weeks from now and be a small part of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, 'cause they don't record the actual show, but a lot of, you know, the fans, they always post about it. So there'll
Yeah.
be some stories that hopefully I'll get to repost and share
Absolutely.
the whole experience with everybody.
So, congratulations on all the Grammy nominations. That's amazing. It was so good to talk to you. Just keep being you. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. Bye, Lupita.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode. I hope that you enjoyed my conversation with Lupita. All of her links are going to be in the description to her music, as well as links to Ellie and Abby, the new movie available on Amazon Prime on demand. Again, it's a hilarious movie. And for all things Lupita, you can find her on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Lupita Infante XO. You can find me on all those same platforms as Pup Duffy. You can also follow and like the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. And be sure to go to beunique.org. Follow them, show them love, show them support, because I would not be who I am without them. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's backs, and have a good one.